from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It is hour two of the G-Bag Nation on 105 through the Fan. Some fun Cowboy stories coming up here in about 20 minutes. Time now for Woolchuck's NFL News of the Day. Here, Zach.
All right, let's talk about the NFL and how owners are discussing a potential quarterback salary. And this could be something that we've kind of discussed and kicked around. There's got to be a way to figure this out with the escalating quarterback market, because you're getting players that are being paid just crazy high numbers. And maybe they're not even on that elite tier, but this is just the price if you want to retain a quarterback these days. So you've got Joe Burrow, whose NFL average of $55 million per year on his contract extension he signed in 2023, which means his deal alone is projected to account for an average of nearly 25% of the Bengals' entire salary cap, meaning for the rest of your 52 guys, you got 75% for your roster. So Tom Pelissero went on the Rich Eisen show and he said the NFL could look at adopting an NBA model. Might be one way to better regulate those percentages. The NBA currently has max and supermax restrictions for free agent long-term contracts, which limit the number of players teams can sign to a certain dollar amount. So the idea really hadn't gained traction, in part because so many teams have paid their quarterback, which is contributing to this position's escalating market. Which raises the point, and if an NFL team feels forced into cost-prohibitive deals for a quarterback, that is yet to warrant the club's total commitment. But now you've got some of these other teams. I mean, you look at the Cowboys, for instance. The Packers are going to have to pay Jordan Love if they want to keep him. The list will go on with these guys eventually wanting to end up getting more. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is going to look up and say, I'm making $50 million. These guys are making $60 million. I'm the best quarterback in football. Where's my piece of this? Maybe I want to get some extra money. So this could be something down the line that as these things keep escalating, maybe they do look to put a max or something to try and eliminate where the quarterback is taking up so much of the pie, as Stephen Jones likes to say. It's an interesting.
It would be great if it could operate independently of it, so guys could just negotiate based on the dollar value that they're providing these NFL teams, and you could build the team separately from that. It makes another layer of complexity to, you know, a storyline that I think a lot of fans are starting to lose, an appetite for.
Yeah, I mean, it's not fun talking about, okay, when are you paying your quarterback, the quarterback's out. I mean, look, all these guys have a small window to cash in, and I'm for them getting their money. So if there's a way that we can do this where those guys can get paid, but it's also not hurting the ability to put a good team around them, that'd be fantastic. I think everybody is winning in that way. The players are getting paid, and the owners are also now feeling like, okay, well, now we're not handcuffed by being able to build a winning football team around this quarterback that I'm having to pay an X amount of dollars to just to keep him around.
Yeah, I think it'd be, I think doing something about it would be extremely smart, because even for teams that decide maybe, okay, we're not going to be the team that continues to give money to guys that, you know, we're paying great money to good players, which you see at this position time and time again, most of the guys being paid, they're being paid great money, and they're just good players. And some teams may decide that they don't want to do that, but there will always be a team that is willing to. If the Cowboys decide, hey, we're not doing that with Dak, well, here come the Raiders, and they will do it.
Or Miami with Tua.
Whatever team it is, there will be a team that says, we will spend all the money and get that guy, so we won't be able to really change the market.
Now, we joked last week about the Chiefs, right? And the error, speaking of the Dolphins, that they put on their seeds with the Super Bowl ring.
Yes.
So Jason was poking a little bit of fun, asking the question to Travis on the New Heights podcast. Like, yeah, there was a big error on the Super Bowl ring. Travis did not seem to care much about this. In fact, as I was thinking, this could end up being great for the value of the ring. Here was their back and forth on their show.
One major little goof on the ring. Miami is listed as the 7th seed. Because it has you all of the games you guys had to win to get there. Miami was actually the 6th seed. I guess it just that's just the way the ring is. Like nobody's gonna get, are you gonna get it fixed?
I don't give a sh.
Does anybody care?
I like it that it's that we didn't give a f about what seed Miami was in. Yeah, they were the 7th. Who cares? They could have done no seeds on the side of them. I would have been fine.
That's my thing. Yeah,
I think it makes it more unique. Like, oh yeah, and we made it really detailed and oops, we screwed up. Just makes it more exclusive. Like it's something we screwed up about something that means nothing.
Ooh, yeah, I like that, man. Shots fired. I think these are dynasty problems, though. You know what I'm saying? True. Maybe you lost focus a little bit, but it's cool because it makes this one kind of stick out from all the others that I have.
But that's exactly it. And as I've been watching The King of Collectibles on Netflix, which I encourage anybody to watch, super easy. They're like 30-minute episodes. Stuff like this raises the value of a ring like that because of the error. And then you also have all the counterfeit rings, as we've talked about, that have been confiscated. They're trying to sell and act like they're an actual ring. The counterfeit rings aren't going to have that error on them.
Or will they?
Maybe now they go ahead and try and counterfeit
it. Now
they will. They didn't originally when they went ahead and confiscated all those Chiefs Super Bowl rings. I guarantee you they didn't have that error inside of those rings.
Yeah. Of course, my generation very specifically remembers the Billy Ripken Donruss card from about 1990.
Yep, cars, baseball cards, when that happens, shoes.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen for clothes, though. If there's like a mistake on clothes, they go to Ross.
Get on the discount rack. Man. Well, the other issue with Kansas City is Kansas is making a serious run at becoming the new home for the reigning champs as the legislators approved a plan yesterday to lure both the Chiefs and the Royals away from Missouri. So this is something that we talked about, but now Kansas has approved this, where they would go ahead and build some new stadiums for the Chiefs and the Royals to move them away from Missouri, where they currently are with Arrowhead. So, man, I would hate to see this. I mean, we've talked about it. I think Arrowhead is a bucket list type of stadium. Maybe that would just continue, you know, if they build a new stadium there in Kansas. But this thing's starting to gain traction, and I don't know that they're going to be able to keep this thing in Missouri. They've got a small window now to be able to keep the Chiefs and the Royals put there at home.
I like it. It makes sense to me that the Kansas City Chiefs would be in Kansas as opposed to Missouri.
Yeah,
I think it's more consistent branding.
It is a little strange.
Are you just the Kansas Chiefs at that point?
Are you still Kansas City?
I don't know.
It would ruin Mitch Holtis. Kansas City. Well, touchdown, Kansas
Chiefs.
How close is Kansas City and Missouri, though?
Good question. We should ask Blake. okay.
5-time champ, man.
What?
Legend.
Arthur Blank.
Yeah.
Along with Matt Ryan.
Ring of Honor.
Is going to be inducted into the Falcons Ring of Honor. Hmm. Now, does Arthur Blank as the team owner not have the same power on this like Jerry Jones does? Like, would we be kind of poking fun at Jerry if he were to induct himself into the Cowboys Ring of Honor? Is that what Arthur Blank is doing here? He is inducting himself into his own team's Ring of Honor?
I hope that's how it actually goes down. I hope he's at the microphone announcing himself in the Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
You did it.
Congratulations, Arthur Blank. And then he just maybe puts on the jacket. Now he gives his speech. He's congratulating himself.
This is one of the ultimate me guy moves in sports history, dude.
Insane, dude. Very, when I saw that,
wait a second. What? Who? Is he putting himself into this? This is bizarre. Yeah.
This is something that happens to you when the organization decides after you've passed away, we want to do some honoring in your name here. Yeah. Not you deciding for yourself, getting to the microphone, I, Arthur Blank, am now in the Ring of Honor. Let's unveil my name up there.
Or if you're Al Davis, you just make a big torch in the middle of the stadium, and it's always the flame, the eternal flame.
instead of doing Ring of Honor, he just made a big torch out in the center of the.
Is that because he felt embarrassed putting himself into the Ring of Honor?
When he passed on, they just said that was Al's wishes. You know, if you move on, we're going to make an eternal. They had it in Oakland at the Coliseum.
Oh.
Yeah, they had the Al Davis internal flame.
You think it's still there if we went to an A's game?
Oh, I'm sure it is. Yeah, but I don't know if it's still working.
It is kind of neat. Like, if you could have a statue or an eternal torch. I mean, considering how they make statue faces these days, I might go eternal torch.
Yeah. Or the botchery that the Sean Taylor statue was for Washington. Yeah.
Oh, you can't even call it a statue.
It was like a mannequin. It was terrible.
I need to
do
some torch research on this.
Al Davis had an internal flame?
I had no
flame?
Idea that was an Al Davis thing. I've seen the flame there at Allegiant Stadium.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that was Al Davis created.
I think we have a ceremony to light the internal flame.
I think you're right.
And that eternal flame song is always playing on a speaker.
What kind of flame is this brought us?
Internal.
Okay, the eternal?
Eternal flame.
Okay. I think he did say internal.
I was thinking, here we go. No, I'm just trying to imagine this.
It's a flame.
Reggie caught you in here too, bro.
I'm trying to bring information.
Is it eternal or internal? What did he say?
Maybe me and Blake should do a show together. You know,
he had a burning passion for busting your ass for those 2 weeks that you were working for him for free, I heard.
Yeah. But whatever. Yeah, you guys didn't know that they had the flame? This guy?
I didn't know.
I'm not going to call it eternal.
Is it in the Vegas stadium?
Yeah. It's out there at the,
him.
Yeah.
It's out there at the,
Well, I think, it's out there at the Allegiant Stadium.
I'm seeing photo evidence now.
Well, thanks. Shout out to Blake.
Looks good.
We're actually being filled with texts right now from the Tolos. There's a Kansas City, Missouri, and a Kansas City, Kansas.
There's both.
Don't say.
So, damn it, there's both. Thank you guys so much for letting us know that. We appreciate all the geography.
Kevin Gray texts in on that one?
I don't know. Maybe he did. He's also trying to claim that they still have the best damn barbecue, which is not correct, okay? They can't make brisket like we do here. Colts are also inducting tight end Dallas Clark in the franchise's Ring of Honor. But that's okay. He's not inducting himself. And
they hang banners for being in second place at that place.
Yeah, they do this type of stuff. Like, maybe you don't think
Dallas Clark's a good player.
Celebrate your wins.
Yeah. He was a good player.
Jim Harbaugh's in that thing.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dallas Clark,
11 seasons with the Colts. Yeah.
Yeah, that good of a run, huh?
I think he did, dude. Okay. I think he was pretty nasty.
He won a Super Bowl.
He was in
53 touchdowns for his career.
Same draft as Jason Witten.
Was he really?
Yeah.
How long was his run?
It was
2003.
Well, 11. 9 of his 11 seasons in the NFL were with the Colts. So he played 11 total years.
It was about a 3-year run. 600 yards, 800 yards, 1,100 yards.
Like we need a flame for him.
Wait, so he only had one year over 1,000?
Yes, and it was 11 touchdowns, 6 touchdowns, and 10 touchdowns. His run from, 2007 to 2009. And then I guess...
Okay, he did win me a fantasy championship in one of those years.
Well, here's my issue. So the article says that he's going to be the 19th member of the Colts Ring of Honor. He's joining Manning, Harrison, Freeney, Bill Polian, Tony Dungy, and others. Is Reggie Wayne not in there? Because if Dallas Clark's getting in over Reggie Wayne, then I think we have an issue.
I think Reggie Wayne's in there.
Reggie Wayne.
I hope he's one of the
Chris
others.
Chris Hinton's in there.
He's got to be, right?
Harbaugh's in there.
Like, we need to fact check that. Just make sure Reggie Wayne's
I think one of the Ursays is in there. I think the Ursay.
Did Jim put himself in?
The dad.
Maybe that's where Arthur got this idea.
I think his dad.
Reggie Wayne was inducted into the Colts Ring of Honor.
What about Edgerrin James?
Johnny Unitas.
Edgerrin James is in there. Eric Dickerson. Marvin Harrison. Chris Hinton is in there.
Yeah, Chris Hinton. Yeah.
Is that your buddy?
Yeah, that's my buddy.
We don't have Bob Sanders in there, though.
Jeff Saturday.
Oh, man.
Jeff Saturday's in there, huh?
Reggie's in there. Dwight Freeney. Robert Mathis. Tariq Glenn. And now Dallas Clark.
Do you ever just drive around in your car, Wolchuk, and start just thinking about badass safeties from your childhood? And Bob Sanders is always right there at the top of the list.
I loved Bob's. And Gary Brackett. Talk about undersized linebackers. My dude was a badass, too.
Heck yeah.
He sure was. All right, let's get to Bill O'Buttchin. Now, the butt chin was
coaching it in Boston College, right?
He is. He's now the head coach there at Boston College. He was on Next Up with Adam Brenneman and his former quarterback at Penn State, Christian Hackenberg, and he opened up about the failures that were him being a GM of the Houston Texans.
I didn't really enjoy being the GM. I didn't enjoy negotiating contracts. In the end, that was a mistake by me, and I wish I really didn't do that. That was a tough time in Houston. We were a good team, and at the end of the day, we went a full year, I think, without a GM. And then there was a year where they were like, well, we're just going to make you the GM. So in the end, that's not who I am. That's another lesson learned. There's very few guys in the history of football that can ever do that, and they're the greatest of the greats. I can evaluate talent. I know how to evaluate talent. I shouldn't be negotiating contracts and things like that. Keep the main thing the main thing. Be a coach. That's what I love to do. That's who I am.
Well, and the guy that he learned from, Bill Belichick, I think he learned that the hard way too. That's why nobody wanted to hire him this offseason. Sometimes you don't need to do both. Just stick to the coaching portion. We don't need to dabble in the GM portion. And shout out to David Johnson.
I wonder how many contracts Bill O'Brien was really negotiating there.
Oof.
See, I think
DeAndre Hopkins thing was a huge failure, and he trades him for David Johnson. I mean, that was really the end.
I appreciate him saying that it's a tough job. I don't know if he was in there signing contracts with agents. I don't know if he was, you know, plopping down at night and going, okay, hey,
here's the butt cheek, plopping down.
This is the deal I'm going to give you if you don't like it. I'm going to say somebody else was probably negotiating the contract, but I'm going to say he was probably signing off that, okay, is this a good deal or not for us? You know, the only one I've ever heard of was like Vince Lombardi. Vince Lombardi, I think it was Jim Ringo, their center, came and asked for an extension, and you got to pay me more. And Lombardi goes, hey, I'll be right back. And he went and called Philadelphia and traded Ringo and goes, right there.
Wow.
Like he walked in and said, hey, I'd like a raise, coach. And he says, oh, hang on just one second. He made a call and goes, you need to be negotiating with the Philadelphia Eagles because that's where we just traded you to.
That's amazing.
While the guy was sitting there.
That's incredible. But that it is. Like, that can make things just so awkward. I got a coach guy on the field, but then now I've got to find a way to tell him that he's not worth X amount of money.
I don't think Bill was probably doing the deals. I really don't.
We got a C-note coming up next. The Cowboys news of the evening. Cowboys have a deal with a slot machine company. Does that mean gaming is coming to AT&T. It's coming up next here, the G-Bag Nation on 105 Through the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Shoot, yeah, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Segments brought to you by Window Nation. Call 866-90-NATION, 50% off all new windows. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org, and it's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the Frankels at 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. Yeah, Tim Cato's coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll be talking Mavs with him. We have the C-Note here, Cowboys news of the evening. And a lot of the talk is going to be about Dak's contract. I don't know how ready you are for Dak contract talk. You know, maybe we'll do some a little bit later on for me. How about this? Cowboys Inc. deal with slot machine company as NFL teams cozy up to the gambling industry. People are wondering, what exactly does this mean? It's right there in the morning news. Slot machine company, that'd be pretty cool. Get to AT&T feeling a little sippy from your time in the parking lot. Maybe, you know, yank a couple of slot machines on a long television timeout.
You want Ruben with you if you're going to do this.
Yeah, some people have the magic touch, don't they?
Ruby's got the touch.
Do you guys have the magic touch? 877-881-1053. Are you that guy who just, oh, look at this, guys. I hit for 25 hundo, and then a few minutes later, I hit for another 15 hundo. I guess I got $4,000 now. And we're like, yeah, but I lost $200 in blackjack again, dude. You guys know anybody like that besides Ruben?
No, just Ruben.
Yeah, just Ruben's the only lucky dude I know. It's definitely not me.
No, I don't have that. One of my my buddy Brandon, I think his mother is very lucky when it comes to the slot machines.
I don't know
when
they stop.
They go to Windstar a lot.
I just don't know when to stop, because I could get up $600 and just keep going. You know, I mean, I'm thinking I should just
lose
it all. Yeah, lose it all right back.
Yeah,
I love the Wheel of Fortune. You ever seen that one with
that's a fun one.
Wheel of, and then and it has the spin, the free spin thing, and yeah, you can clean up on that thing. And I've done it a couple of times and just kind of gave it all back.
Yeah, I love when you win it and they're like, now it's time for the bonus round where you get 5 free spins, and you're like, oh, dude, I'm about to clean up. And you know, so I feel like I'm oftentimes on the doorstep of having that experience, but I don't think I've ever had that casino experience where it's like, yeah, baby, jackpot, let's go, all drinks on me.
That would be an awesome feeling. I hope that, I mean, I don't know what type of control they're going to have here with this. Hopefully this is one of those slot machine places that still keeps it traditional with the lever pull instead of the button smash.
There's something fun about
the
lever.
It seems like the lever pool is so much cooler. That was a huge disappointment going to the Super Bowl in Vegas and seeing all the slot machines, and it's just a button.
Some of those levers don't even work.
They get stuck. That's probably what it is.
I thought, I don't know, maybe the grannies were getting some RSI from all that pulling.
And then they were losing biz. They're like, I can't even go do my slot machine fund. They're like, no, don't worry, Grandma. We'll get this figured out for you.
Yeah, it's like when I blew out both my wrists from the online poker. You know, you yank on that thing enough times, and even a small motion, can create damn near carpal tunnel. Brian.
More ways than one.
It's a contact sport.
No, but the Cowboys have signed a multi-year deal with this is Aristocrat Gaming. It'll allow them to show off promotional material all throughout AT&T Stadium. So it's not actual slot machines in the stadium. This is just for advertising, because Texans spend approximately $5 billion a year in legal gambling in neighboring states.
Yeah.
So this is Oklahoma, Louisiana, New Mexico, and Nevada, getting some of that sweet Texas gambling dough. They're cleaning up from us. I don't know. It seems like maybe you'd want to legalize that here inside the great state and go ahead and keep that $5 billion inside these borders. But it gets complicated.
It does. It does. Yep. But Mark Cuban and company are leading the charge right now. So I'm feeling pretty confident. I don't know how long it's going to take.
And those slot machines are in the gas stations.
Yeah.
The gas stations that have the T-shirts for sale.
Yeah.
Is that money?
I think that's kind of a private deal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Look, Dawson didn't want to say it. Let's not talk about it, Bush. Just to tell you
later. I don't know.
Dawson owns like 4 of those companies.
Let's not talk about it. I don't know. Maybe the Frankel injury attorney text line has something they can share. But I've always thought maybe those were operating in the gray area of the laws.
Yeah.
Okay, we have 5 random pre-training camp questions for you here while we wait for that intel to come in. We go to Blogging the Boys. Question number 1, what is the plan for Trey Lance, Brian? Some of the reports I'm hearing about his inaccuracies this many years since being drafted, it seems like a lost cause at this point. Tell me
I'm
wrong.
Well, what's going to happen here is I got to see 3 OTA practices, as did some others, and I felt like there were some days where he wasn't nearly as accurate as he needed to be, and there were some questions about some arm strength stuff. But this is where I think that this training camp for him is going to be, of course, huge, just because I would let him have every single rep. Yeah, I know what Cooper Rush is. I don't need to see Cooper Rush anymore. Every practice rep that Dak Prescott's not throwing the ball needs to be Trey Lance, and it needs to be in the 7-on-7 drills, the team drills, whatever drills he can throw, blitz pickup drills, whatever he has to do, and of course these preseason games. That's going to tell you. But there, for all the things, we didn't get to see him throw at all really last year at all. This time is the first time that we've got to see him throw. I don't think they can hide him out there at training camp from our eyes. You know, he's going to have to practice. And so that needs to be done. But there's some legitimate questions about arm strength and accuracy with this guy. But there's also some positive stuff to him. The footwork, his mobility. You know, there's some times where he did make some really good throws. But he also will make the guys work for the ball a little bit. So, yeah, really important.
Super talented player, but yeah, it's the reps. I mean, you're 100% right. Yeah. He needs to get the reps, which is why I wouldn't mind seeing him even start a full preseason game like we saw Tony Romo do against Seattle when Parcells was here. Let Trey Lance have four full quarters action. Let's see what this guy can do.
Yeah, I'd love to see it, you know. But I hope they have a plan other than him if, you know, they do want to move on from Dak Prescott. I think at this point, if I'm Dak and his agent, I'm just not buying it. You know, if he'd have been something last year, you'd at least made him a backup. But I think what Brian said, like, you can't hide him from us anymore is pretty accurate.
Yeah, I think that, to me, you're going to find out. But it also might be that if they move on from Dak and they move on from Trey Lance, then there's your draft. That's where you're going to have to draft a guy.
Okay, where's the beef is question number two here, pre-training camp questions, and they're talking about the interior of the defensive line. Fingers crossed that Mozzie has a big year, and are we still hopeful that Osa can have a breakout performance?
I think Osa you don't have to worry about. The thing that we always need to be concerned with Osa is that first 12 weeks of the season, he's really, really good, and then the last 4 or 5 weeks, he kind of wears down. So, you know, the conditioning, he's a guy that's really conscious about his body and being in shape and being ready. He just hasn't had the stamina to play the last couple of years. Mozzie, I watched him work on the cords the other day with Britt Brown when we had that opportunity. It's the first time I'd seen him, you know, the body type. It looks like he's put on, he's not 292 pounds anymore. It looks like he's put on some weight. You know, Britt and those guys, yeah, they'll have him ready to go. And it's going to be important for him to, you know, not have any more setbacks, because they're going to need, they really don't have the one techniques that they need. They have, a rookie what they drafted that could potentially be
Rodgers at Auburn.
Rodgers, yeah. But other than that, it's a very, very slim position for them.
I'm excited about the beef in the middle of the offensive line, the center battle with my guy Cooper Beebe and Brock Hoffman. Who wins that.
I do not know if Mike Solari, the offensive line coach, is going to allow two rookies to play in this offensive line. I think that I would not be surprised to see Brock Hoffman start.
I wouldn't be surprised either, and
Guyton be the starter at left tackle.
But they let the best man win.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, just because guy's a rookie, if he outplays Hoffman and we're not starting him because he's a rookie.
Yeah,
that would annoy me.
If he outplays him, I kind of feel like things are stacked against Beebe right now from that standpoint. I think there's more willingness for Guyton to be the left tackle. I don't know about the willingness to let Beebe be that guy.
Brock played well the two games we saw him last year.
Sure.
Third and final question we'll get to. Have to hold the other two for a while. Will McCarthy's uncertain future impact the present, Chief? How would you answer that one?
I think there's a chance that the lame duck head coach, sort of lame duck quarterback situation, can get away from you pretty quickly if the season doesn't start the way you want it to. So I could see a scenario. You hope that it's more of a galvanizer and it's a us against them mentality, and hey, let's go show them that dang right they're gonna regret forever leaving us on 1 year deals here, whatever it may be. So you hope that it sort of fuels them, but you can see it being something that could rip apart a team a little bit once if you're 2-5 or something to start the season.
I would worry more about the coaching staff if they were 3-5 or 3-6 to start out the year than I would the players.
All righty, it's time to go around the bases, brought to you by Uber Eats. Volchuk, what kind of baseball content are we looking at on this fine day?
Who is starting at center field tonight for your Texas Rangers? We remember Willie Mays, facial hair, and pancake rears. That's next.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Tim Cato talking Mavs with us coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll talk about the ways they could improve in the offseason. Right now, it's time for a proper round tripper, brought to you by Uber Eats. Here's our baseball expert, Volchuk.
24 All-Star games, 660 home runs, 12 Gold Glove Awards, Major League Baseball and the sports world losing one of the best to ever do it yesterday as the Say Hey Kid passed away at the age of 93. Rest in peace to Willie Mays. And we'll talk with Dave Raymond tomorrow at 5 o'clock, who got to spend some time with Willie when he was working out there in San Francisco. He's got some great stories about getting to go over to Willie Mays' house, get to see all of his sports collectibles. But certainly, arguably, the greatest baseball player to ever do it, passing away, as Barry Bonds issued statements along with the rest of the Major League Baseball world. Commissioner Rob Manfred said Thursday's game at historic Rickwood Field was designed to be a celebration of Willie Mays and his peers. With sadness in our hearts, it will now also serve as a national remembrance of an American who will forever remain on the short list of the most impactful individuals our great game has ever known. And that game will be tomorrow, in which they definitely will be giving a fitting send-off to Willie Mays at Rickwood Field, where his career took shape. They're going to honor him there, but was really, really sad to hear the news of Willie Mays, who is one of the oldest living remaining great players, certainly one of the remaining Negro League players that was still with us, and a lot of great stories. You know, Mike was talking about the book that he came out with that he read and sharing some stories about that. Boach was talking about it with KMC earlier than last night as well. Remembered for, of course, the catch in the World Series, among some other tremendous plays that we probably didn't even ever get to see. And his numbers probably should be even better than they are. I mean, he could lead Major League Baseball in statistics if, you know, we didn't have to deal with some of that stuff during that time that he was coming up with. But, I mean, his numbers speak for themselves of how amazing Willie Mays was. I mean, 156.2 wins above replacement, an elite hitter, elite defender, a showman, one of the must-watch players in the history of the sport. So, lost a great one in Willie Mays.
Yeah, he, you know, in fact, that he, the way he played at the Polo Grounds and stuff, the way, I mean, it's just a huge field, but, you know, his speed and his ability. You talked about the most famous, most iconic picture of him. Yeah, I believe it was the 54 World Series. Vic Wertz hits the ball, and I mean, he turns his back completely to the infield and just on a dead sprint heads for center field and, you know, reaches up and makes that catch. And it was incredible, his ability to just the – I think we became – or you know, when we started talking about five-tool players in scouting in baseball – I think they had Willie Mays in mind right off the jump. I think that's when you started to talk about, well, this guy's a five-tool player.
That's what you're looking for.
Run, throw, catch, hit. Oh, I mean, that was Willie Mays. And the fact that he then moved on to San Francisco, you know, when the Giants moved from New York to out west, and he was such a legendary part of that team out there with him and Willie McCovey and, you know, and Bobby Bonds. And, I mean, they had some – they had some outstanding players, but he is by far, when they start to talk about, you always say the Mount Rushmore of players, Willie Mays has got to be one of your guys. No, you always talk about that way.
No doubt.
They had the sports science on the catch, and you can see like it was 106.8 miles per hour for the launch velocity, and then Mays covers 90 feet of ground while chasing that ball down, and he topped out at like 14-something miles per hour.
Just, he read it off the bat. It is that.
Yeah, and he just immediately
and
just starts sprinting.
Polo Grounds has got just so much space out there. And, you know, if he misses that ball, it's likely going to be an inside the park homer. But his ability to catch the ball and then turn and fire it back into the infield to hold the runners, I think was even more impressive.
Yes. I mean, they would have scored three runs if he's not able to go and get that. I mean, unbelievable play and an unbelievable man.
But the basket catches, too. Willie Mays, like most people, they'd say, okay, hand two hands up and all. Willie Mays would catch ball. I mean, like, he'd catch him at his waist and just, you know, turn his glove upside down and
stud.
Just... Yes, catch. I mean, he just was that talented of a guy.
We'll talk more. Willie Mays, top 10 at 420, will be the top 10 baseball players in the history of Major League Baseball. Where will Willie end up being?
Roberto Clemente, yeah. I saw him. I mean, very. It's 1971 when he passed away trying to help his countrymen. But you talk about just unbelievable players. My gosh.
Unreal.
Crazy.
We'll get to the Rangers here in just a second, and Wyatt Langford, we got some big news on him. And then I know, Eric, you have a special story about his first over-the-fence home run, but Buck Showalter was talking on MLB Network. And we've talked a lot about rear ends in scouting over the course of this offseason.
Power bottoms.
The power bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Buck was looking, and he had kind of had a couple of different ways with his scouting style. Some that, hey, if they had this, I'm not drafting you. I'm not taking you on my team. Here was Buck.
Buck, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I get as much. I mean, this stuff watching him, I got it. I love how his hands work close to the ground. A lot of tall guys have a little issue with that. But I love talking to them, the conversation. You got as much, Harold, from out there being around them, watching them talk to their teammates, being around, you know, how they're going to play a season that's 162 games, the ebbs and flows of a season. You know, where are their moms and dads? You know, can you imagine being a parent sitting on the stands watching your kid do this? One, how proud you are, but how nervous you are.
Yeah.
But, I watch these kids. I'm looking at other things than a lot of people look at. I'm looking at, how high is their butt?
How high is their butt?
Yeah, how are they got a full beard? You don't see a bunch of pancake rear guys playing. You don't. There's some exceptions to everything. I'm just telling you.
What just happened?
Okay.
No. Okay.
I'll tell you another one, too. If you look at a full beard, if I see a guy that's got a full beard, hey, there's an X there. Because he's not getting any bigger. He's not getting any stronger. You better like what you
grown.
See. He's fully grown. You know, for the most part.
You better like what you're saying is a fool.
I've got more, but I'm going to stop. What color eyes do they have? They brown? They green? They blue? Well, take a look at the batting title guys over the last 40 years. What color eyes they had, Greg? There's some consistency in it. I can keep going. Your wrist, your fingers, I'm looking too much.
And that's why they do all the different data points they do. They test them on everything, how long their wingspans are, how long their strength is, all that stuff that gets measured in. It's pretty cool.
It's more than just the high weight speed.
Wow, man.
He's not wrong.
We need to get more details. We need to go body part by body part asking follow-up questions. Ooh. What is it about the fingers that you need to know?
The wrist.
What is it about the wrist? You probably want a thick, sort of bigger boned wrist, I imagine. Yeah. Perhaps you want the sausage fingers in this situation. Does that help with the grip?
I'm not getting drafted.
I think, didn't we talk to Dutch about this pitching, but having long fingers?
Yes.
Able to control the ball a little bit better?
There you go.
Longer leverage.
And the release. Yeah. Yeah. Release point as well. Yeah. Man,
he's not wrong about the
eye color,
butt.
Though. I mean, that was interesting.
Yeah, because you want darker colored eyes, right?
The blue eyes with Josh Hamilton couldn't play well in the day games.
I've never heard the one about the eye color, though.
Oh, yeah, Josh Hamilton talked about that, I think, quite a bit in, the 2011 or 2012 season?
Yes.
He was struggling?
I did have a scout one time talk about a guy that was a chronic dipper.
Okay.
Yeah, and the reason why he brought it up is because the guy, and it was Shante Carver who the Cowboys took. This scout on the West Coast told me, he goes, Brian, this kid can't put on any more weight. And I said, why? And he goes, he's a chronic dipper. And I say, what does that have to do with his weight? He goes, his gums are so bad it hurts to eat.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a problem.
So with his gums being bad, he won't eat, he won't put on weight.
Needed to switch to the Skull Bandits.
Probably. Man. Yeah. But Shante Carver was a chronic dipper, and a scout brought that up in a meeting. And he didn't. He never put on more weight because his gums were so bad.
If we were going to play the guessing game on why that was going to affect his weight, I thought it was going to be because of you get called a dip S. You know, the dip S's can be intense. You know, it sort of acts as like a laxative of sorts.
I see.
You know, so
saying,
it could just be running through. It'd be hard to keep the weight on.
He's
that.
Just constantly eating and pooping.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Rangers lineups out. Andrew Heaney on the bump. Sean Manaea, I believe that's the guy you think you can hit a pitch off of.
I thought I could. I'll be out there tonight. I'll be out there. I think
you can scout him out there tonight.
Are you going to the ball yard?
Yeah, I'm going to the ball yard. I think that I could maybe – I've kind of backed up where I think I could bunt, right? Deb and I talked about the being bunting. the bunting part.
Versus major league pitching.
Yeah. And we determined that I could maybe get a bunt down with that silver bat we had the other day.
Yeah, if they gave you 100 chances.
100 chances with the little silver bat, you think I could get a bunt down?
If the pitcher is throwing with his offhand and his eyes closed.
I do think that silver bat would break on contact.
We've determined that the silver bat could not protect you, right?
It'll just split.
Not for any period of time. Not for serious threats.
So you could maybe use it one time and then you're done.
One decent hit, I think.
Maybe a one good.
And you better hope you just get it right. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely worth keeping next to the nightstand.
I think next training camp, I'm going to try and do a bunt.
Okay.
See if they'll let me go out there.
For spring training?
Yeah, just go in the backfield and see if they'll let me do a bunt.
I bet they will. This could be fun. We get a video.
I bet you somebody tries. I bet you somebody tries to hit me.
I don't know. That seems like horsing.
If D-Rob's still on the team, I think he'd be open to do it.
I'll tell you what. I think he'd hit me in the ribs.
Maybe. That'd make the video go viral.
Maybe we get Dutch to... Dutch will throw
There him. We go.
Dutch, now we're
Dutch
talking.
That's
a guy that'll play along. Now, it's going to be a historic night at the ballpark tonight.
He's going to throw at me.
Wyatt Langford, who had his first over-the-fence home run last night, he's going to be starting in center field. His first big league start at center field. So Robbie Grossman's going to play left. Doley back in the lineup. He's going to play right field. Wyatt will be at center field tonight for your Rangers.
Let's go.
Now, Jack Leiter, we got good news last night, courtesy of our guy Sean McFarland. A Triple-A Round Rock, 7 innings of no run ball, 8 Ks, gave up 5 hits, no walks for Jack Leiter. Reached 98.2 miles per hour with the fastball, threw 71 of his 101 pitches for strikes. One of the best outings we've seen from Jack Leiter at AAA. I love to see that. But what a night it was for you and the family with Wyatt Langford hitting that homer, huh?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it, dude. I'm watching the game, and then I'm seeing after some replays, oh my gosh, the guy who caught the Wyatt Langford dong ball was my Uncle Dave.
That's good. Nice job, Dave. Sitting there high-fiving everybody. I'm like, oh my gosh,
did he give it back?
Wild. So he in the immediate moment, he said that he was about to give it to the kid that was next to him.
Yeah,
everybody was shouting at him that was Langford's
first one
over the fence situation. So he was like, all right, let me I'll go ahead and hang on to this. But he didn't put up a fight or anything. My uncle's not that kind of dude. So he said what they ended up doing. He said the security people came over to him, and he ended up exchanging the actual Langford dong ball for 2 autograph balls by Langford. And then there's going to be some level of like meeting him at a batting practice situation.
Sweet. That is, yeah, your uncle did the right thing.
That's awesome. So,
absolutely.
The thought he was going to give the kid the ball was the first thing. But the fact
that he's a stand up guy sure. And he catches it on the rebound. Somebody tips it, and then it lands right into his bare hands. Ooh, and my uncle's a baseball guy. In fact, if you know, does the name Sid Bream? Ring any bells?
Yeah, Pittsburgh Pirate.
That's his first cousin.
Yeah.
So he's got baseball in his DNA.
Baseball
there was
blood.
No way he was dropping that thing.
I think he threw out Barry Bonds from left field.
He'd think he did, too.
Yeah, he had an absolute hose.
What a hose.
Sid Bream. I heard a rumor Wyatt signed those baseballs Bang Bang as well. Can you get that confirmed for me?
Yes, actually, I will. I'm going to try and get one of those balls up here.
If you automatically catch a ball, you got to give it to a little kid, right?
Unless it's a historical,
If it's a Barry Bonds all home run,
I think most of the time I would give it to the kid. Unless I've never caught a ball either, like it's my first one.
The judge ball,
You're not giving that.
Historic
dong ball, you probably hand it over to the kid.
Okay, real quick.
If I bare hand that thing though, I'm keeping that.
Okay, quick around the room, real quick. There's 2 little kids. How do you decide? How do you decide if you catch one ball?
Oh, that's when Ty goes to me, the runner. Sorry, boys.
Do you give the ball to one kid and not the other if they're sitting there?
Yeah, probably by age. The
not
younger.
Too old, not too young.
Whichever one turned around first.
I'm not giving it to a 2-year-old. They'll never remember it.
Yeah.
If he's with a 5-year-old. But if there's like a 14-year-old, I'm not giving it to that punk.
Might have to have a fan-off situation where I got like 5 questions about the team. Who's actually going to answer these correctly? Who can prove that they're a real fan?
Worry about giving the ball to one kid and the other one just kind of not being, he's like, feel sad about it.
Oh,
I mean, like,
well, that's when
it.
You just, you know what, I'm just going to keep it for myself. I'll give it to my kid.
Just cut the ball in half and there you go. Give it to each of them.
Got to give my ring to Bennett. He wanted that thing.
Special night. Bennett's getting your Packers ring?
No, anyway.
Oh, the Rangers ring.
But the Rangers ring, yeah.
Okay, let's talk some Mavs. Our proper round tripper, by the way, brought to you by Uber Eats.
Tim Cato joins us next from The Athletic to talk about a massive Mavericks offseason that is now underway next here on 105.3 The Fan. Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Tim Cato talking Mavs with us coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll talk about the ways they could improve in the offseason. Right now, it's time for a proper round tripper brought to you by Uber Eats. Here's our baseball expert, Wolchuk.
24 All-Star games, 660 home runs, 12 Gold Glove Awards, Major League Baseball and the sports world losing one of the best to ever do it yesterday as the Say Hey Kid passed away at the age of 93. Rest in peace to Willie Mays. And we'll talk with Dave Raymond tomorrow at 5 o'clock, who got to spend some time with Willie when he was working out there in San Francisco. He's got some great stories about getting to go over to Willie Mays' house, get to see all of his sports collectibles, but certainly arguably the greatest baseball player to ever do it, passing away as Barry Bonds issued statements along with the rest of the Major League Baseball world. Commissioner Rob Manfred said Thursday's game at historic Rickwood Field was designed to be a celebration of Willie Mays and his peers. With sadness in our hearts, it will now also serve as a national remembrance of an American who will forever remain on the short list of the most impactful individuals our great game has ever known. And that game will be tomorrow, in which they definitely will be giving a fitting send-off to Willie Mays at Rickwood Field, where his career took shape. They're going to honor him there. But was really, really sad to hear the news of Willie Mays, who is one of the oldest living remaining great players. Certainly one of the remaining Negro League players that was still with us, and a lot of great stories. You know, Mike was talking about the book that he came out with that he read and sharing some stories about that. Boach was talking about it with KMC earlier than last night as well. Remembered for, of course, the catch in the World Series, among some other tremendous plays that we probably didn't even ever get to see. And his numbers probably should be even better than they are. I mean, he could lead Major League Baseball in statistics if, you know, we didn't have to deal with some of that stuff during that time that he was coming up with. But, I mean, his numbers speak for themselves of how amazing Willie Mays was. I mean, 156.2 wins above replacement, an elite hitter, elite defender, a showman, one of the must-watch players in the history of the sport. So, lost a great one in Willie Mays.
Yeah, he, you know, in fact that he, the way he played at the Polo Grounds and stuff, the way, I mean, it's just a huge field, but, you know, his speed and his ability. You talked about the most famous, most iconic picture of him. Yeah, I believe it was the 54 World Series. Vic Wertz hits the ball, and, I mean, he turns his back completely to the infield and just on a dead sprint heads for center field and, you know, reaches up and makes that catch. And it was incredible, his ability to I think we became, or, you know, when we started talking about five-tool players in scouting in baseball, I think they had Willie Mays in mind right off the jump. I think that's when you started to talk about, well, this guy's a five-tool player.
That's what you're looking for.
Run, throw, catch, hit. Oh, I mean, that was Willie Mays. And the fact that he then moved on to San Francisco, you know, when the Giants moved from New York to out west, and he was such a legendary part of that team out there with him and Willie McCovey and, you know, and Bobby Bonds. And, I mean, they had some outstanding players, but he is by far, when they start to talk about, you know, always say the Mount Rushmore of players, Willie Mays has got to be one of your guys. No, you always talk about that way.
No doubt.
They had the sports science on the catch, and you can see, like, it was 106.8 miles per hour for the launch velocity.
Yeah.
And then Mays covers 90 feet of ground while chasing that ball down, and he topped out at like 14-something miles per hour.
Just, he read it off the bat. It is that.
Yeah, and he just immediately just starts sprinting.
Polo Grounds has got just so much space out there. And, you know, if he misses that ball, it's likely going to be an inside the park homer. But his ability to catch the ball and then turn and fire it back into the infield to hold the runners, I think, was even more impressive.
Yes. I mean, they would have scored three runs if he's not able to go and get that. I mean, unbelievable play and an unbelievable man.
But the basket catches, too. Willie Mays, like most people, they'd say, okay, hand, two hands up, but all Willie Mays would catch ball. I mean, like, he'd catch him at his waist and just, you know, turn his glove upside down and
stud.
Just, Yes, catch. I mean, he just was that talented of a guy.
We'll talk more. Willie Mays, top 10 at 420, will be the top 10 baseball players in the history of Major League Baseball. Where will Willie end up being?
Roberto Clemente, yeah. I saw him. I mean, it's 1971 when he passed away trying to help his countrymen. But you talk about just unbelievable players. My gosh.
Unreal.
Crazy.
We'll get to the Rangers here in just a second, and Wyatt Langford, we got some big news on him, and then I know, Eric, you have a special story about his first over-the-fence home run, but Buck Showalter was talking on MLB Network, and we've talked a lot about rear ends in scouting over the course of this offseason.
Power bottoms.
The power bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Buck was looking, and he had kind of had a couple of different ways with his scouting style. Some that, hey, if they had this, I'm not drafting you. I'm not taking you on my team. Here was Buck.
Buck, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I get as much. I mean, this stuff watching him, I got it. I love how his hands work close to the ground. A lot of tall guys have a little issue with that. But I love talking to them, the conversation. You got as much, Harold, from out there being around them, watching them talk to their teammates, being around, you know, how they're going to play a season that's 162 games, the ebbs and flows of a season. You know, where are their moms and dads? You know, can you imagine being a parent sitting on the stands watching your kid do this? One, how proud you are, but how nervous you are.
Yeah.
But, I watch these kids. I'm looking at other things than a lot of people look at. I'm looking at, how high is their butt?
How high is their butt?
Yeah, how are they got a full beard? You don't see a bunch of pancake rear guys playing. You don't. There's some exceptions to everything. I'm just telling you.
What just happened?
Okay. No.
Okay.
I'll tell you another one, too. If you look at a full beard, if I see a guy that's got a full beard, hey, there's an X there. Because he's not getting any bigger. He's not getting any stronger. You better like what you
grown.
See. He's fully grown. You know, for the most part.
You better like what you're saying.
I've got more, but I'm going to start. You know, what color eyes do they have? They brown? They green? They blue? Well, take a look at the batting title, guys, over the last 40 years. What color eyes they had, Greg? There's some consistency in it. I can keep going. Your wrist, your fingers, I'm looking too much.
And that's why they do all the different data points they do. They test them on everything, how long their wingspans are, how long their strength is, all that stuff that gets measured in. It's pretty cool.
It's more than just the high weight speed.
Wow,
huh?
Man.
He's not wrong.
We need to get more details. We need to go body part by body part, asking follow-up questions. Ooh. What is it about the fingers that you need to know?
The wrist.
What is it about the wrist? You probably want a thick, sort of bigger boned wrist, I imagine. Yeah. Perhaps you want the sausage fingers in this situation. Does that help with the grip?
I'm not getting drafted.
I think, didn't we talk to Dutch about this pitching, but having long fingers?
Yes.
Able to control the ball a little bit better?
There you go.
Longer levers.
And the release point as well. Yeah. Man,
he's not wrong about the
eye color,
butt.
Though. I mean, that was interesting.
Yeah, because you want darker colored eyes,
well,
right?
The blue eyes with Josh Hamilton couldn't play well in the day games.
I've never heard the one about the eye color, though.
Oh, yeah, Josh Hamilton talked about that, I think, quite a bit in, the 2011 or 2012 season?
Yes.
He was struggling?
I did have a scout one time talk about a guy that was a chronic dipper.
Okay.
Yeah, and the reason why he brought it up is because the guy, and it was Shante Carver who the Cowboys took. This scout on the West Coast told me, he goes, Brian, this kid can't put on any more weight. And I said, why? And he goes, he's a chronic dipper. And I say, what does that have to do with his weight? He goes, his gums are so bad it hurts to eat.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a problem.
So with his gums being bad, he won't eat, he won't put on weight.
Needed to switch to the Skull Bandits.
Man. Yeah, but Shante Carver was a chronic dipper, and the scout brought that up in a meeting. He didn't. He never put on more weight because his gums were so bad.
If we were going to play the guessing game on why that was going to affect his weight, I thought it was going to be because of the, you get called a dip S. You know, the dip S's can be intense. You know, it sort of acts as like a laxative of sorts.
I see.
Just be running through. It'd be hard to keep
he's constantly eating and pooping.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Rangers lineups out. Andrew Heaney on the bump. Sean Manaea, I believe that's the guy you think you can hit a pitch off of.
I thought I could. I'll be out there tonight. I think
you can scout him out there tonight.
Are you going to the ball yard?
Yeah, I'm going to the ball yard. I think that I could maybe. I've kind of backed up where I think I could bunt, right? Devin and I talked about
the
being
bunting.
The bunting bunt part.
Versus major league pitching.
Yeah. And we determined that I could maybe get a bunt down with that silver bat we had the other day.
Yeah, if they gave you 100 chances.
100 chances with the little silver bat, you think I could get a bunt down?
If the pitcher is throwing with his offhand and his eyes closed.
I do think that silverback would break on contact.
We've determined that the silverback could not protect you, right?
It'll just split.
Not for any period of time.
Mm. Yeah.
Not for serious threats.
So you could maybe use it one time and then you're done?
One decent hit, I think.
Maybe a one good one-hitter quitter.
You better hope you just get it right, right?
Yeah.
It's definitely worth keeping next to the nightstand.
I think next training camp, I'm going to try and do a bunt.
Okay.
I'm going to see if they'll let me go out there.
Or spring training?
Yeah, just go in the backfield and see if they'll let me do a bunt.
I bet they will. This could be fun. We'll get a video.
I bet you somebody tries. I bet you somebody tries to hit me.
I don't know. That seems like horsing
around. If D-Rob's still on the team, I think he'd be open to do it.
I'll tell you what. I think he'd hit me in the ribs.
Maybe. That'd make the video go viral.
Maybe we get Dutch to... Dutch will throw
there
him.
We go.
Dutch will throw that's him. A guy that'll play along. Now, it's going to be a historic night at the ballpark tonight.
He's going to throw at me.
Wyatt Langford, who had his first over-the-fence home run last night, he's going to be starting in center field. His first big league start at center field. So Robbie Grossman's going to play left. Doley back in the lineup. He's going to play right field. Wyatt will be at center field tonight for your Rangers.
Let's go.
Now, Jack Leiter, we got good news last night, courtesy of our guy Sean McFarlane. A Triple-A Round Rock, 7 innings of no run ball, 8 Ks, gave up 5 hits, no walks for Jack Leiter. Reached 98.2 miles per hour with the fastball, threw 71 of his 101 pitches for strikes. One of the best outings we've seen from Jack Leiter at Triple-A. I love to see that. But what a night it was for you and the family with Wyatt Langford hitting that homer, huh?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it, dude. I'm watching the game, and then I'm seeing after some replays, oh my gosh, the guy who caught the Wyatt Langford dong ball was my Uncle Dave.
Let's go.
Dave sitting there high-fiving everybody. I'm like, oh my gosh,
did
this
he get
is
it back?
Wild. So he in the immediate moment, he said that he was about to give it to the kid that was next to him.
Yeah,
everybody was shouting at him that was Langford's
first one
over the fence situation. So he was like, all right, let me I'll go ahead and hang on to this. But he didn't put up a fight or anything. My uncle's not that kind of dude. So he said what they ended up doing. He said the security people came over to him, and he ended up exchanging the actual Langford dong ball for 2 autograph balls by Langford. And then there's going to be some level of like meeting him at a batting practice situation.
Sweet.
That is
your uncle
in
did the right
future,
thing.
Though.
That's awesome.
So, absolutely.
The thought he was given going to give the kid the ball was the first thing. But the fact
he's a stand-up guy sure. And he catches it on the rebound. Somebody tips it, and then it lands right into his bare hands.
Ooh,
and my uncle's a baseball guy. In fact, if you know, does the name Sid Bream? Ring any bells?
Yeah, Pittsburgh Pirates.
That's his first cousin.
Yeah.
So he's got baseball in his DNA.
Baseball
blood. No way he was dropping that thing.
I think he threw out Barry Bonds from left field.
He'd think he did, too.
Yeah, he had an absolute hose.
What a hose.
Sid Bream.
I
heard a rumor Wyatt signed those baseballs Bang Bang as well. Can you get that confirmed for me?
Yes, actually, I will. I'm going to try and get one of those balls up here.
If you automatically catch a ball, you got to give it to a little kid, right?
Unless it's a historical, like this had some history to it.
Yeah, okay. If it's a Barry Bonds all home run,
I think most of the time I would give it to the kid. Unless I've never caught a ball either. Like it's my first one.
The judge ball.
Yeah, you're not giving that.
Historic ball. You're not giving
a generic dong ball. Yeah, you probably hand it over to the
kid. Okay, real quick.
If I bare hand that thing though, I'm keeping that.
Okay, real quick around the room. Real quick. There's 2 little kids. How do you decide? How do you decide if you catch one ball?
Oh, that's when Ty goes to me, the runner. Sorry, boys.
Do you give the ball to one kid and not the other if they're sitting there?
Yeah, probably by age. The younger. Not too old, not too young.
Whichever one turned around first. No,
I'm not giving it to a 2-year-old. They'll never remember it.
Yeah.
If he's with a 5-year-old. But if there's like a 14-year-old, I'm not giving it to that punk.
Might have to have a fan-off situation where I got like 5 questions about the team. Who's actually going to answer these correctly? Who can prove that they're a real fan?
I worry about giving the ball to one kid and the other one just kind of not being, he's like, feel sad about it.
Oh,
I mean, like
that's when you just, you know what, I'm just going to keep it for myself. I'll give it to my kid.
Just cut the ball in half and there you go. Give it to each of them.
Got to give my ring to Bennett. He wanted that thing.
Special night. Bennett's getting your Packers ring?
No, he, well, anyway.
Oh, the Rangers ring.
But the Rangers ring, yeah.
Okay, let's talk some Mavs. Our proper round tripper, by the way, brought to you by Uber Eats. Tim Cato joins us next from The Athletic to talk about a massive Mavericks offseason that is now underway next here on 105.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps.
thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.